Anyways, she hard. She hard. Joining me in studio for the next half hour or so, before they have to shoot off and film Close Up for tonight, TV1, 7 o'clock. Man, you would have had to have your head under a rock if you haven't heard this song everywhere lately. Everywhere, everywhere. One will hear the other. This is the brand new She Hat. First of all, guys, congratulations. Your album went gold first morning. Is that a New Zealand record or what?
We've had it happen before, but I think for nowadays it's pretty good.
Do you guys still get nervous on the day when the actual charts come out, or are you way past that?
Oh, I mean, you always want to do well, I suppose, but just from the fact that when we finished it, we were quietly confident that we'd made a really good record, you know, and I still think that, you know, and getting over to New Zealand and seeing the actual final artwork and holding it in my hands, and it was like, oh yeah, this is great, you know, I'm really proud to be part of it.
And everyone that's talking to you guys this week, not only talking about the new album, but also going, God, 20 years, is it scary to have a 20th anniversary of something? Like, isn't that's a lot of years, isn't it? Doesn't it go fast?
It goes very fast, and it seems wrong that it's 20 years. It doesn't feel like 20 years.
It also goes slow.
And of course, we all know this story. It's kind of part of New Zealand history, isn't it, about how you guys met at school over an AC/DC tape. Should there be anyone listening that doesn't know that story, would you like to share that with us?
I think Tom found out that I'd actually had guitar lessons when I was young, but I'd only played acoustic guitar. And I didn't know how to play an electric guitar, but Tom was in with the band people at Wellington High School and said, oh, have a listen to this tape. So it was a more like Iron Maiden, AC/DC and Metallica. Those were the three bands.
Yeah. And of course, you brought some of your favourite CDs in each this morning, boys. John, one of the ones you've brought in is AC/DC, and you want to play For Those About to Rock. What is it about the song you love?
I remember like getting a massive lump in my throat and tears streaming down my face when I saw them played it live at Wellington Athletic Park before they closed that down, and when the cannons went off at the end. And it's just a massive triumphant rock song, and it's talking about the things that are good about rock, the fact that it's actually more than just the music and the band, it's the people that listen to it and the people that move to it, you know.
Well, we'll play that for you now in studio with me this afternoon, John Turgood and Tom Larkin from She Hat, and for you now some AC/DC. In studio, John Turgood and Tom Larkin, AC/DC, there For Those About to Rock. Now, you two, you met at school, so where did the other guys come into the picture?
Phil
came out of a cereal packet. He's a genius, but he's extremely strange. you don't get a genius musician without the craziness.
Kurt Cobain, for example.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's not quite Kurt Cobain, more sort of Wurzel Gummidge.
we're trying to emphasise the strange, not crazy side of this.
He put a really badly written advert for a heavy metal. The guitarist wants to play in heavy metal band, so we rung him, and it was the most ridiculous conversation I've ever had. We said, well, why don't you come to practice and we'll see how it goes, and he goes, is there a guitar around? It's like, well, there's an acoustic guitar with two strings hooked on it. Could you get him to play the riff from Disposable Heroes off Metallica's Master of Puppets, please? down the guitar.
So he wanted a demonstration over the phone.
Down the phone
of your guitar riffing ability.
Oh yeah, riffing ability on a two-string acoustic guitar. So it was like, I did it though. And then Carl was, he was actually a fan of the band. He was younger than us, but he was a good bass player that was sort of around Wellington.
And he hadn't been playing that long, but I was just struck by his ability to play. And when we lost our first bass player, he was first on the list for me.
Okay, we're going to play another song for you now. Now, Tom, this is one of yours that you've brought in. It's Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
It is an absolute classic. Why have you brought this one in today?
Oh, well, I mean, it was, you know, songs that influenced us. I mean, this was one of my favourite tracks and pitted me firmly against my father, who was a great believer in education. He was outraged by my choice of listening to a song which proclaimed that you don't need no education, which had both bad grammar and putting education down, but I thought it was absolutely genius because, yeah, I hated school so much, and that song kind of summed it up.
Awesome.
It's an amazing album. You listen to it, it's
the wall
just
is incredible.
Yeah.
Love those concept albums. Okay, we've got John Turgood and Tom Larkin in studio with us this afternoon. Some Pink Floyd, Another Brick at the Rock.
We don't need no.
How can you have any pudding if you don't eat me?
Pink Floyd at the Rock, Another Brick in the Wall, chosen for you especially this afternoon by Tom Larkin of She Hat. Of course, the new She Hat album is in store for you now. Beautiful Machine is what it's called, and running the playlist for the next little while, John Turgood and Tom Larkin in the studio with a few of their favourite CDs, because of course even rock stars have favourite rock stars. Funny concept, isn't it? But we're going to be hearing some more of their favourite songs in the next few minutes. How you doing, boys?
We're doing this all without coffee. It's pretty good.
Know.
I think we're doing quite well.
We're faking it well.
What time did you guys get up this morning?
Oh, about half an hour ago.
Yeah. And it's cold in here, eh?
It is actually really icy.
You like that?
What's going on? Do you like it icy?
No, I just turned it on and you guys were coming now. I normally have it off, eh? Slippers.
Slippers.
Maybe slippers. 1991, of course, your first recorded work came out. It was an EP. Now, rock was huge in 1991. Obviously, Metallica's Black Album, the GNR Use Your Illusion albums were out. But also, it was the first time we ever saw grunge, you know, Nevermind, Pearl Jam's 10. Were you guys ever tempted to go the grunge route at all?
The grunge stuff that, you know, really hit big during that period of kind of 92, 93 was stuff that had influenced us earlier, like 1989. We knew about all those bands, 88, 89, beforehand, and it was primarily John kind of bringing in the records from working in a record store and kind of going, check this out. And so we opened up our sound based on those records before we'd even made our first record.
Yeah, like Nirvana's Bleach, you know, we really loved that record. And then there was like Mudhoney's early records and Soundgarden's first record.
So the whole sub-pop kind of thing.
That sub-pop thing was awesome.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, and...
And the band that people forget was Alice in Chains, which at the time was really the kind of the glue between the kind of the metal thing and the grunge thing.
And the grunge thing, yeah. I remember when Nevermind came out, for me I was a little bit, oh, this is just ripping off the Pixies. But then I got over that and realised what a great record that was. And even though we were releasing a speed metal record, we were still listening to all that music anyway.
And then, of course, the whole AC/DC thing kind of came full circle, because it was around now that you got to play with them in front of massive crowds, like 40,000 people one night.
Yep.
What was that like for such a relatively young band?
Really good, considering we were still playing sort of speed metal. I think the audience sort of liked it. And we got to watch them sound check with the best guitar sound in the world, which is still the best guitar sound in the world.
Well, over those few years, though, you opened for a lot of big bands. I mean, it wasn't just AC/DC. You had Faith No More, and you played with Killing Joke. What was it like to be around musicians of that caliber? Did you feel like you were learning so much off of just being around them?
Every night, you know. Like, I mean, Faith No More, I was watching Mike Patton for cues on how you use your energy on stage, and I'm sure Tom was watching Mike Borden from Faith No More and going, that guy's awesome.
Taking photos, making posters.
We're going to play another song here now. This is one of my favourite bands, the Mint Chicks, man. I love these. Now, this is one that you've brought in, John.
Yeah.
What is it about the Mint Chicks you love so much?
I saw them play earlier on, and I actually really liked the EPs and stuff, but finally with Crazy Yes, Dumb No, it was just like great song after great song after great song, and the sound was just right. It's not often nowadays you get a rock record that you want to listen to over and over again. And the fact that it came from New Zealand was even better for me, you know. And the fact that they can play live really good, that definitely makes a difference to me if a band can cut it live, and they certainly can, you know.
I mean, what I like about it, like, I think it's a modern album, but what connects with me is actually how old school so much of it is, old school rock so much of it is. And it's like, I think of the Misfits, and I think of, you know, lots of stuff that's...
Buzzcocks.
Definitely
Wire, definitely... It's great, man.
Well, we'll play some of it for you. Now we've got John Turgood and Tom Larkin in studio. Of course, the release, the brand new album, Beautiful Machine, that is in store now. And here's the Mint Chicks. The Rock. We are joined by John Turgood and Tom Larkin of Shehead in studio. The brand new album, Beautiful Machine, is out now for you to buy. Now, guys, you made the decision to move to Australia in 1999. Was that just all about the career, or was that about the fact that maybe there's a little bit of tall poppy syndrome going on in this country? Is that a reason a lot of bands
leave? Oh, actually, what it was to do with was that we were shut out of the Northern Hemisphere, real company stuff, and we had contracts that were kind of like, that we were fighting legally in both the United States and Europe. Australia's a free territory. Let's concentrate there while this legal stuff's being sorted out. So that's really what kind of happened.
So that was 99, and then, of course, a couple of years later, that very highly publicised move off to the States. What was your guys' plan for America before you went? What did you want to happen?
Oh, you just wanted to own the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like basically saying, that cake is so awesome, I want to eat the whole thing. You know.
So I have to ask you then, does America still matter?
It's not in my line of focus at all.
No, I'm not focused on it.
I still have a lot of friends there, and I still, there's parts of America that I absolutely adore. And I wouldn't mind going back there, you know, like back to New York and back to San Francisco and stuff like that. But all we knew that with this record was like, we've got to just make a great record for us, and that will make it much more pleasurable to go out and tour and play these songs because we love them, you know? And we're not going to stop until we're satisfied that this is a great record. And we did that, you know, we worked our ass off. I mean, it creates a whole world of opportunities, but what those opportunities are. We've not made a plan or anything, so.
Well, I was going to ask you about your plan, but we'll get to that in just a moment. We'll just take a quick break here. Now, another song you've brought in, Tom, a bit of Clash, some classic Clash, London Calling. You love the Clash?
Well, I mean, I selected this because, again, it was one of those albums that really, I mean, there was a lot of those bands that I was really into, from the Damned to the Sex Pistols, but I think the mixture of kind of great songwriting and a view of the world that I found engaging, and alongside the most insane collection of tunes on that album. Even though it's not really that much of a punk rock album, but to me that was the first punk rock movement kind of threw up, was that record, London's Calling.
And you must have been young when that came out.
I mean, I would have been about 11 when I was chasing that one down.
Crucial years, those 11-year-olds.
Yeah, totally. Chris Alive, One, Human League, Dear, Wicked. Oh, Bob Marley's Legend, Greatest Hits, great.
Slippery When Wet.
There you go.
We're taking a break. We've got John and Tom from She Had, and the brand new album Beautiful Machine is in store now. Here's The Clash, The Rock. Guys, thank you so much for spending the afternoon with us. It's been awesome to have you in here. Look, just quickly before you go, of course, the album, it's almost been out a week. What is the plan? I know you're playing Vodafone Homegrown this weekend. I mean, how huge is that? It's the 20th anniversary. You got a new album. You're playing a sold-out gig in, festival even, in Wellington this weekend. Hometown, Anzac weekend, headlining the bill. Does it get any more exciting for you?
It's awesome.
Great. Well, if they were giving away free puppies, maybe it would be.
Free bags of $1 million.
Yeah, free bags of $1 million, please.
That'd be exciting, I tell you. No, it's going to be awesome, man. I mean, the lineup is just...
Massive, isn't
great.
It?
I mean, it's so good, it's annoying. And that just shows you how sort of strong New Zealand music is at the moment, you know?
It's going to be absolutely massive, guys. It's been awesome to have you in here. We're going to go out on a favourite song of all our listeners, some Metallica, Master of Puppets. You can't be a rock fan if you don't dig Metallica, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bam.
John and Tom from She Had Boys, it's been awesome having you in here, and best of luck, continued success, and good luck for the charts next week. Not that you need luck.
Cheers, dude.